Great to see you. I won't mention much on Psalm 88, the first reading, except to say that that's the saddest psalm in the Psalms, with the saddest ending. And that sort of points forward to the time when Jesus is rejected by his friends and rejected by God, where he stands on the cross and pays the penalty for our sin. But there comes a time in life when you need to choose either to stand firm for your beliefs or whether you want to hide your beliefs or deny your beliefs. Here's some certain situations. Coke or Pepsi. If you're in the wrong crowd, and some people are Coke lovers and some people are Pepsi lovers, you might hide what you prefer or your preference in order to fit in, because you might start an argument or something. Here's a couple of other situations. Star Wars or Star Trek. If you're in the wrong crowd and you're saying that you love Star Wars, you might get paid out by Trekkies or the other way around. And you've got to choose at that moment, do I stand firm and say, I love Star Trek and I love Star Wars, or hide it or deny which one you love. Pineapple on pizza is a huge thing here. Some people just get up in arms if you say that you love pineapple on pizza, and some people think, why would you say such a thing? And of course, should Orlando Bloom have accepted an acting role in the Hobbit film trilogy? Is another biggie, really important to me and some young adults a few years ago. But imagine this. You're one of the 12 disciples. You're a follower of Jesus. You believe Jesus speaks the very words of God. As he enters Jerusalem, he is praised and celebrated as the Messiah, as the Savior, the one who's going to fix Israelite up and restore its relationship with God. But things have not all been smooth. The Jewish authorities have constantly rejected Jesus' teaching, have told people not to listen to Jesus, and have conspired to kill him. They don't like that that Jesus is taking away their traditions or their teaching or Jesus' teaching. So in the middle of the night, they come for Jesus. They tie him up. They take him to a house where he's given a mock trial. You follow him. You gain access to the house. You're sitting there listening to what they say. And certainly something's about to happen. Something big. Something serious. Jesus the Messiah has said he's going to be betrayed and is going to be put to death. If you stand with him and make it known that you stand with him, that you follow him, you will share his fate. What do you do? Are you willing to say, I stand with Jesus? Or will you be quiet? Or when asked, will you say, I don't know who that is? We're looking at Peter's testimony and the experience of Jesus, his experiences of Jesus this January. And last week, we heard that Jesus is confirmed to be God's Son. Jesus is transfigured before Peter. His face is shining, his clothes are transformed. And Moses and Elijah appear with him. And a voice comes from God saying, this is my son, listen to him. So there's no doubt in Peter's mind that Jesus is God's son, the promised Messiah here to set things right. Will Peter stand with the Messiah and stand with God's son? We know from what we've read that he doesn't. He denies Jesus not once or twice, but three times. We're going to hear two things about Peter's sin this morning. We're going to hear that it's serious, but we're also going to hear that God is forgiving. So Peter is in a serious spot. This is a grave sin. Kids, you know if you muck up in school and the teacher says, be quiet, like maybe you muck up in class or something, you know that that's the end of it, and it's like, okay, I'm okay, it's all right. If the teacher sends you down to the principal's office, you know you're in a bit of hot water. If the principal says, I'm calling your parent, you go, oh no, I'm in trouble now. You're going to go home and your mum's going to say to you, you know, what happened? Why did you do this? You could be grounded. You could lose the PlayStation and the Xbox for the next 2 or 3 weeks. You might, when your dad comes home, your mum will say to you, is there something you need to say to your father? And you'll say, yes, mum. You know that you're in trouble. This is the sort of seriousness of the situation, but way, way worse than this. And the reason that it's serious is this. Jesus has said, just previously to this, if anyone wants to come with me, He must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, if you want to be with me and have a relationship with God, this is what's involved. You've got to deny yourself, your needs, your wants, your desires, and follow God with your life. Put him first as number one. Verse 24, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. And Peter, in this situation, hasn't lost his life for Jesus. He hasn't denied himself for Jesus. Instead, he's done the opposite. He's denied he knows Jesus in order to save his life. Jesus says, verse 25, what is a man benefited if he gains the whole world, yet loses and forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and that of the Father and the holy angels. What's at stake for Peter here? Fellowship with God. Fellowship with Jesus. Whoever is ashamed of Jesus will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, when he comes back to make things right. So Peter has committed a serious sin. He's rejected knowing Jesus three times. And the day before, Peter promises to go to prison or even to death with Jesus. It doesn't look good for him right now. So Peter exits the courtyard and weeps. Now, we might not ever be in a situation where we'll have an opportunity to deny Jesus to his face or around him. But I wonder whether we deny Jesus more often than we think. Perhaps at work. Do your colleagues know that you're a Christian? That you follow Jesus? Would they be surprised if you said you were a Christian? Have you been going out of your way to hide your faith so that people don't know you're a Christian? Kids, how about at school or out in the community? Do your friends know that you're a Christian? Do you live like a Christian at school? Or do you act like everybody else? Do your enemies know that you're a Christian? Do you love them? Do you pray for them? Or do you sometimes insult them back or tease them back? Because you think, if they know I'm a Christian, then I'm really going to get it. Do you live like a Christian in front of people? Do you show by your life that you follow Jesus, that you are with him all the way? For example, when people tell a rude joke or are saying mean things or are picking on someone, do you laugh? And do you join in so that you fit in? Do you do things that Jesus wouldn't be happy with because you want to be like everyone else and you don't want to be teased? Do you act like a non-Christian so that people will love you? How about at home? Are you scared to read your Bible in the living room because you feel the need to hide your faith? Or when people come over for dinner, do you not give thanks to God because you're worried about making other people feel awkward? I've read an article this week about Veganuary. I can't believe that it's actually a thing. It's like Movember, but instead of growing a mustache, you stop eating delicious food for a month. Does anybody know what a vegan is, kids? Yep, people, do you want to say? Ben? Yeah, that's right. Somebody who doesn't eat animal meat is a vegetarian. Vegan goes a step further. No animal products. I checked out the website because of curiosity. You don't need to worry, Ash. It's only curiosity at this point. There's a number of articles up there designed to help people adjust to being a vegan for the month of January. So you've got things like why, you've got a vegan starter kit. I don't know what that is, I didn't click on it. But you've got recipes so that you can cook nutritious food. Eating out, like how do you eat out as a vegan? Myths about veganism, and then people encouraging stories and news as well. And it's funny that there's quite a number of articles on there instructing you on how to be a vegan. And the reason is because having a vegan diet is an all of life change. You change everything. It changes how you buy coffee. No more full cream milk. Or other certain types of milk that I don't know anything about. It changes your shopping. What you buy. because you won't be able to buy animal products. And that includes some lollies as well. I think lots of lollies have gelatin in it, which is animal fat. It changes what food you eat. When you go to a restaurant, if you're a vegan, there's limited choices on the menu, limited things that you can eat. You might even have to say to the waiter or the waitress, look, could you actually cook this for me, but take this out and add this in? So it's really inconveniencing other people if you want to stay vegan. And then if you're going out with friends, you risk them paying you out and making jokes about you. So if you're a vegan, when you're around your friends, you'll need to choose whether you want to fit in and compromise your veganness. So Christianity is like being a vegan. I can't believe I just said that. Being a vegan is an all of life change. It's going to affect every facet of what you do. And Christianity, following Jesus, is also an all of life change. Jesus wants you to be all in. Every part of your life. Your home life. Your work life. Your school life. Your activities, all in. And if you're hiding your faith in one of those areas, you're denying that you belong to Jesus. So when your friends laugh at a bad joke or make fun of others, don't. Tell them, I'm not really into making fun of others. When someone's telling you something really, really hard and you want to pray for them, and you want to say, can I pray for you? Do it. Make it known that you're a Christian. If we're Christians, we're meant to be living different lives. Let your colleagues, your friends, your family know that you unashamedly follow Jesus and live it out. Don't try to hide it. Be willing to speak about Christian things with others. And I know that doing that in certain situations can be really hard. I remember as a kid, I lived like a Christian, but I wasn't one. I didn't become a Christian until year 8 at school. People thought I was a Christian kid because I went to church with my mum. I knew all the answers in scripture, and sometimes I got paid out for it. I remember being on a year 6 school camp. It was at a Christian venue, and the owner of the Christian venue had made dinner for us that night. And he wanted to say grace for us. He actually wanted to lead us in the Superman grace. And I remember some of my friends at the table, some people in my year, were snickering and joking, and they were saying, Abram's going to be really into the actions because he's a Christian. And I remember thinking, you just want the teasing to stop. So when I got into year 7, I took up swearing because I thought it was cool. I started to act like everybody else because I didn't want to be the Christian kid. So it can be hard to identify as a Christian, to make it known that you follow Jesus and that you love God. And some of you, to apply this sermon, it may open up a hard time of living for God. It may actually bring with it persecution. Because as you live for Jesus, there will be some people that will tease you and make fun of you. And I'm sorry that people can be really cruel. And if you're going through a tough time because of Jesus, then I'm sorry that you have to endure that. But I am glad that you do and that you stand up for Jesus. And I want you to keep standing firm for Jesus. And the reason is this. Jesus says, you are blessed when people hate you, when they exclude you, insult you, and slander your name as evil, because of the Son of Man. If you stand for Jesus when you're being persecuted, you show that he is more important than this life. You show that Jesus is more important than fitting in and being friends with people. So keep going. Pray for the people that are insulting you and slandering you, and keep living for Jesus. Don't be afraid to show who you really are. Because when Jesus returns, he will be proud of your actions when you stand up for him. The reward of eternal life and eternal relationship with God is worth it. Lastly, I do want to spend a little time on God's forgiveness, because it is foretold that Simon will sin. And Jesus tells Peter to turn to Jesus. Jesus says this before, the night before this happens. He says, "Simon, Simon, look out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Peter is warned about his sin beforehand. And in this, Jesus says, "When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." So the test that comes upon Peter is not a test that completely destroys his faith or completely removes his faith. Peter turns back. He is told to turn back. We're going to look at that a bit more next week. And he will strengthen the other believers. He's denied Christ, which he shouldn't have done, but there is forgiveness. And there's forgiveness because of God's love. Because Jesus was willing to be rejected by his friends, willing to be all alone, and willing to go to that cross for us to pay the punishment we deserve. He suffers God's wrath for the times when we deny we follow God, for the times that we reject God. So if you have denied God, there is forgiveness, and it's free because Jesus gave himself for you. But heed the warning. Remember to turn. Don't keep denying that you follow Jesus. Turn back to God, ask for forgiveness, and live for him in every single area of your life. Be like a crazy vegan Christian in every area of your life. We've heard this morning the seriousness of Peter's sin. We've been challenged ourselves not to deny Jesus in any area of our lives. We've heard the call to repent and not to be ashamed of Jesus, and that God is a forgiving God. Let me pray that we would stand firm for Jesus. Heavenly Father, we do find it hard to say that we're Christians. Sometimes we feel like this whole world is against us. We thank you for your promise of eternal life for those who trust in Jesus. We thank you for the promise of forgiveness to all who turn to him. We ask that you would help us to keep denying ourselves, to be willing to identify as Christians, as followers of Jesus. We ask you to forgive us for the times that we don't do that. We ask that you would bless those who persecute us or tease us or slander us. We ask that you would bring them to know you. And we ask that when we do stand against persecution, we ask that you would help us to keep following you and to stand firm in our faith. Amen.